Let's start from the top. This is my mom, Nelly Alvarado.
Yeah.
Y dice en español.
Bienvenido a encontrar lo gracioso con Lisa Alvarado.
You nailed it.
Okay.
All right. All right. Una vez más.
Yay, yay.
That's my mom getting the chancla out. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Find the Funny with Lisa Alvarado. Do I really need to say my name at this point?
Madeline Brand says her name every day on Press Play.
See? And that's the perfect thing. It's because my guest is my very good friend, Marky.
Hi.
Who I think we've known each other for 10 years.
Yeah.
Now, right?
Had to be.
At least 10
years. How long has Oasis been open? That's probably that long.
Right. Yeah, we met at church, and neither one of us go there anymore.
Praise God.
Which is funny. That's actually where I met Sarah, my producer, as well. Say hey, Sarah.
Hey.
Yeah, so she's going to be off camera because she didn't shower today. But the rest of us are going to be on camera. No, actually, the problem is that she has to produce the show, which means that she's looking at cameras and doing all the technical aspects. So we love our Sarah, but she's actually working right now. All right, we're going to get into it, guys. First of all, happy Mother's Day if you're joining us. I know it was a couple days ago, but I'm a mom. Marky, you're a mom to a doggy. But
yeah.
Hey, that counts.
It counts. I have a 16-year-old Shih Tzu Maltese
who
had dental surgery for like $2,000. So yes, I am a mom.
Dang, I don't even put braces on my own kid. I don't.
That's a shame.
Know how you?
That's
get
a
him.
Shame.
It is. His teeth are all jacked up. I'm like, I love you. Go to school.
Yeah, talk about love. Jeez.
My kid. He had to borrow diapers. I don't know. I was not a good mom. But yes, so we are going to get into it today. I'm so excited to have my friend Marky here because she has actually been picketing on the WGA strike. And we're going to talk all about that. And we're also going to talk about the web series that she was involved in probably 10 years ago, I think we shot, which was super fun as well. We're going to be talking about everything. And wow, $2,000 for
that. And that was the lower estimate.
You are a good mom.
I want his quality of life to be at least, you know.
No, you're a good mom. I know. You need to get a sugar daddy for the dog.
I need a real kid, huh?
Yeah. You need to get a man to pay for that stuff. Get on Tinder
and
get some man to pay for that.
Can't be striking.
That's crazy. I know. Like, you can't be off work right now.
Yeah, this is serious.
Crazy. Okay, so you work at Nickelodeon as a writer, correct?
Yes. Yeah, I've been working on a kid's show there for about 2 years.
Oh, that's fantastic. And how did you work into that position?
I have been working in production for at least 7 or 8 years, just at different shows. I started at The Late Late Show with James Corden, kind of pioneered the carpool karaoke. We were like that first team to pioneer that.
Oh,
and,
fantastic.
Goodness, it was a roller coaster, but amazing. And started off in the Page program. And then I kind of like, you know, started to meet people on the CBS lots that way. And,
nice.
First scripted show was Last Man Standing with Tim Allen.
Oh, right.
Tim is a really great guy. when he wants to be, he's great.
Yeah.
But no, he was, it was great to just see a table read with Tim Allen. You know what I mean? The first day was so surreal. And I was like, wow, I am working in my dream job. And I'm so grateful.
So you started off assisting. You took the long road. You took that like appropriate, you know, I'm going to watch and learn and be the assistant, then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to move up, and now you're actually a writer.
Yeah, I don't think assisting was ever, it never felt like a burden to me. I think just because we were talking about church, that we met at church at earlier, and just having that servant attitude, you know, working in missions, and always, you know, being willing to help and serve. So it was always a joy to be able to be around it.
Wow.
And just continuing to hone the craft by watching and observing. I think I'm pretty good at mocking. You know, or imitating, mimicking.
Yeah, but that's what we all do. That's how we learn.
It's
like you take the pieces of the stuff that you really like and you go, oh, I'm going to implement that.
Mm-hmm.
How many writers are women in the room?
This past season, it was me, Megan, and Sam Martin. So three of us in the writer's room. Out of, I want say 7. But we also had a female writer's assistant and a female script coordinator. And if you have a really good showrunner, usually those people are in the room and they can also contribute.
Right, right.
So in total, 3 with the title. Right. And then we had 2 more women as support staff. So 5 in total.
Oh, that's good. That's really good, actually. Yeah. It's so important to have women. And I think it's becoming more common, more accepted, and they're seeking it out more.
Yeah.
So congratulations on one landing a job, which is super hard.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much competition in this city, but working your way up and actually getting a staff writing job. So you've been on the picket line, right?
Yes.
What are the issues that you yourself personally are fighting for in this or want to see changed?
Yeah. Everyone was kind of taken aback that very basic ask were like either no or no agreement or no counter.
Right.
And those basic things would be like making sure that there's a room for every show or making sure that AI doesn't take over, you know, our jobs. Like just very, very basic things that would be a no-brainer that we would assume would be a no-brainer. But they were like, oh, no, we got to think about that. Like, really? You have to think about Terminator taking over?
Right. Okay. Yeah, exactly. I know. It's insane. You know, people have actually talked to me about that. They're like, you know that there's going to be AI comedians.
What?
And I'm like, try to have them handle a heckler, okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just going to blow them up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
They're gonna shoot
like,
their head
they
off.
Won't know shit about. They'll be like, ha, 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 why did the chicken cross the road? You know?
Yeah.
And I'm whipping out a titty. I mean, my shows are different. I will slap you in the face with a tit if you heckle me. Try that, AI.
Yeah. Shoot. Show me the money. Show me those boobs.
I like extra charge on those shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's wild how I feel like this movement, though, was such a bonding experience for the writers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I see so many posts online right now of a bunch of my friends that are on shows that are writers for years, and this is how they make their money, just in solidarity.
Yeah.
Just
solidarity. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Just bonding on the streets and like people honking and, you know, like it seems like the community is really rallying around the writers.
For sure. And I think there's also solidarity among the other industry professionals. We have DGA. They started their negotiations yesterday. So the hope is that if they're able to come to an agreement of something, then maybe they can help us on our side,
right?
You know, and then this whole thing can kind of come to a halt and we can start working again.
Ah, see, I didn't even know they did that. For those of you who don't know, DGA is the Directors Guild.
Yes. So you have DGA and then SAG.
Right.
Screen Actors Guild.
Right.
And everyone is negotiating with the Alliance of Television Producers. What is it? AMP. Alliance Motion Picture Television Producers. It's a mouthful.
Okay.
But they represent the studios, and then we go in to negotiate as basically like contract, freelance, you know, to hire, for hire workers.
Right, right. So right now, you're basically put on hold right now. Nobody's working.
Yeah.
Does that mean you don't get paid?
We don't get paid, but the guild will try to assist where they can. They do have a strike fund.
That's good.
Which will offer no interest loans.
Okay.
So that is helpful.
Yeah, that's helpful.
I'm going to apply to that today.
Wow.
I already applied for the, there's also the Entertainment Community Fund, which used to be like the Actors Fund.
Okay.
So I have an interview for that tomorrow. Let's hope that goes well.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's unfortunate because it does affect the writer that is just coming on.
Right.
We are fighting for the future of our future and the future of the next generation of writers.
Right.
We also have, you know, the higher ups, the executive producers who have been doing this for 30 years. They kind of have their cushion. They have their egg, their nest egg that they can kind of, you know, float on a little bit until this is done. But for me, you know, I'm going to have to go work at freaking, I don't know.
Taco Bell?
Taco Bell. Yeah, I would love to work at Taco Bell. I would love to work at Taco Bell.
Why? Do you like
I need
diarrhea?
To know how the meat is made. I just need to know. It's delicious, but I got to know. I have not eaten at a Taco Bell in forever. I just want to know what's going on.
I don't really know if it's meat that comes from a cow. I don't know. Like if your dog goes missing,
Oh no.
Yeah. No. Like, I don't know. Taco Bell. I don't think they do that in Mexico, but at Taco Bell, they'll see like a squirrel going across the street and they'd be like, get that.
Delicious.
Get that. Yes.
Mexican pizza. Oh my gosh. All day I will eat a Mexican pizza, but I had to learn how to make it on my own because I don't know what's going on.
Well, I hope you get the funding. I mean,
yeah that
otherwise,
would be great.
You know, we need some cleaning in the house, I think, right?
Yeah. I'm down. Give me your dirtiest toilet. I'm down.
Wow. All right. That would be Sarah's.
She didn't shower today, right? Is that what we heard? Oh, gosh.
Exactly. Now I'm outing her toilet. I'm a good best friend, aren't I?
Yeah. Keep it real up in here.
So in the writer's room, do you feel like they've also addressed having more ethnic diversity in there as well?
Yes. I feel like it's definitely changing.
Heading in the right direction.
Yeah. It's already hard enough to find work, you know, even when there is no strike.
Being a Black woman, me being Latina, I think that finally there's starting to be more opportunities for us and diversity in the writers' rooms. Have you found that?
Yeah. When I first came on to this show, there were a lot of white boys, and they're very funny, and they're you know, good people. And it's, I think, you know, I've learned from some of the best, Jim Carrey or Mike Myers or Ben Stiller. Like, you know, we grown up with the comedy of the white man. So I mean, I've learned from that too, and I think we all can appreciate it. And I think now there's been a little bit of a reckoning, and even since the events of the pandemic, of, you know, the George Floyd and all those movements. Yeah. It was just like things just started to come to a head.
Yeah.
And then eventually it just finally the boiling point came, and then people just kind of came to a reckoning like, hey, maybe we have been kind of stifling a group of people or marginalizing, you know, a group of people for some time. Let's hear some voices.
Let's hear
the stories of everybody. Right. This is the American fabric. You know what I mean? And we're all here together,
right?
Like fighting for the same thing. We all want the same things. We all want stability. We want love. We want, you know, good things for our families, you know, to watch people prosper. We all want to see one another prosper.
Yeah,
why not just like do it together? It's so much more fun to do it together.
Yeah.
You know?
And I always hated in the writer's room that you have this room full of dudes writing on behalf of a woman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, or a child, or like who would maybe write that better is actually the mom or a woman that has children or like speaks from her perspective. How are you going to write for a Latina when you have no concept of what it's like to grow up in that household? They can assume, but that's why I think so many of these shows are very hacky or cookie cutter.
Yeah.
The same sort of thing. They portray it over and over and over.
Because this is what you think somebody's experience is.
Or this is what worked on this show, so let's just do it over and over and over on that show.
Yeah, yeah. You know?
And so it's really great to see diversity because I just think it's going to make for more unique scripts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
And there were moments where you start to realize, oh, this is why this is important because you have someone saying, oh, let's do it this way and it'll be fine. No, wait, this is not cool.
Yeah.
You know, somebody's got to put the brakes on.
Right.
And kind of remind people of this might not be the right way to represent this. And this is why.
Right.
Okay. Wow. Another perspective.
Exactly.
A perspective from the person that actually is experiencing this every day.
Yep.
And it's necessary at this point. I really think if you're going to represent a lot of different people, you got to have that community there.
Right.
To stand up and fight for those, fight for how things should be really represented.
Right. Exactly. Are you actually doing other projects where you're, you know, writing a half hour or a feature film? What are you working on now?
Yeah, I actually have been working. We've had a lot of time to get some stuff on the page. And just started writing this story about a kid in foster care. And I feel like that's one of the sectors of government, of society that we don't really see a lot or kind of either ignore or just forget that it exists.
Right.
And even somebody like me who tries to stay very conscious of, you know, the unserved or underserved. And just being reminded that there are kids out here that are really just looking for stability. That's a big thing for a child.
Right.
Exploring that, also having fun with it. Because I'm a comedy writer, so this show is called Find the Funny. So you got to find the funny in these situations.
Right, exactly.
And it's there. And if it's not there, then life would be miserable.
Yeah, but so. I love that angle of actually kind of educating the public mm-hmm. as well as making them laugh about something that's really a hard topic. I mean, I can't imagine what it's like to be a child in foster care dealing with wanting to be adopted, but yet you have all these quote unquote brothers and sisters around you. And they're all at different levels, different ages, and dealing with different emotional trauma.
Yes. Yeah. I've learned that these kids go from anywhere from 1 to 3 to 26 placements.
Wow.
26 placements. Wow. I mean, this is just research, you know, that I learned, and I was trying to get more involved in our church ministry with foster kids. And when I heard that, it was mind blowing. And just, you know, comparing of my own childhood, and I think I've had a pretty solid, you know, fun childhood. So I'm hoping that this project can bring some light to that.
Oh, that's fantastic. If there's any way that we can help you film a sketch, like a 5 minutes, like a scene, so that they can see what the feel of it is and what it's like, the energy of what you're trying to put forward. Mm-hmm. That will sell a script so much faster than just going, hey, look at this concept.
Got it, yeah.
Unless you have great representation.
Yeah, or if you're a Spielberg or Eric Roth, like you can just be like, you know, you've already paid your dues. You've already shown
what you can do. Right, exactly.
And the industry is changing so much so that execs are looking to see what's online and what's out there.
We did a project together.
Yeah.
That was called The Bachelorettes. Very similar, very uplifting, very uplifting. Educational.
Mm-hmm. It taught me a lot.
I know. We had so much fun because it was basically a spoof of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, because I was so sick and tired of seeing all the crap going on that show, and like no one had spoofed it. So I think that Sarah and I were the first ones to shoot a web series, because this was like, 10 years ago? And I just assembled a bunch of friends, got as many cameras as I could, pulled a lot of favors. And I think we did how many episodes? 7?
Seven.
I think it was 7 episodes, and they were a blast. And let's just show you a clip right here.
With only half a dozen bachelors left, things are getting more intense on this week's episode of The Bachelorettes.
Well, Ben, you have a very difficult decision to make. A model with an incredibly sexy body and the rest of the girls.
I know, it's a little overwhelming how hot she is.
Are you ready to get married?
I'm ready to get proposed.
And now, the all-new, never-been-seen, amazingly, incredibly, delectable, vaginal, incredibly never-ending episode you've been waiting for since birth. It's The Bachelorettes.
Well, Latina and I, we have very nice accommodations at La Quinta, and we're in 207.
Marky, we actually called her Token, because she was the token black girl on the show, and you know she's going to be eliminated. I mean, maybe even killed off first.
How long did they stay on? I never watched the show, but like 2-3 days?
Yeah, back then they kind of disappeared.
Yeah, and then I mean, that was like 10 years ago when we wrote this, but now they actually... They're black women and men that have been the bachelor and the bachelorette, which is, I think even now there's a black woman as the bachelorette.
Yeah. Okay.
Which,
that's awesome.
Yeah. She cried too much. That bothered me. But, and so in the Bachelorettes, in our web series, I played the Latina who was pregnant on the show. And Marky was my best friend on the show, and we totally knew each other, obviously.
What do you do, girl? You look like you about to pop.
I know. It's my second. It's kicking.
Me llamo Rosa Isabella Maria.
How old is your first one?
8 months.
Consuela Alvarado Rodriguez.
I just realized what you said.
Junior.
After my fourth one, I was like, no mo. Mm. Had to get my man snipped. He already got 7 kids.
Snipped? Latinos don't snip nothing. They don't even circumcise.
token, I like her. She's my girl. She's my cuñada.
Interview token, take one.
Yeah, that's my girl. That's my girl. She lived down the street. We've been friends for a long time.
Excuse me. I can't believe what is going on with Token. It is so unfair.
Everything cool now? Can we go on with my thing? This is my thing. I'm on TV. My nigga, weak ass wine.
Can we get some Hennessy over here?
Wow, she is ghetto.
Oh, and by the way, that's my son. I put him in a wig.
Date. Dear Cutney.
It's pronounced Cutney.
Oh, sorry. Well, dear Cutney, Blondie, and Heather, let's go wine tasting. I never do that. Ben.
Yeah, I forgot he was in that with his beard.
So this is what a good mom I am. I don't get embraces, but I did put him in my web series. I told my son to put on a wig. Yeah.
He was such a good sport. He really was.
He was. It was hilarious. Like, I'm totally down. I'll put on a wig. He puts on a dress. That kid has more chest hair than, like, some Italian dude. It's hilarious. But he did. He did it. I'm going to show a clip of my son introducing himself as a bachelorette.
I was so excited when I found out I was going to be on the show that I changed my status to in a relationship. I texted Jenny, who told Don, who posted it and got it reposted and then tweeted and then favorited it, and now Ryan Seacrest thinks that we're married.
But your hair is so long.
But your hair is so fake.
I also played Sarah Palin on the show.
These girls, they're just a little bit slutty, but that's okay. That's okay. I mean, I'll just rear them up like I do with my own kids.
So what was your favorite part of being involved in the Bachelorettes?
Just how silly. Just being silly.
It was really dumb.
I enjoyed it. Yeah, yeah.
We did a skeleton script. Like, I actually wrote out the script of where I wanted it to go and what words I wanted in there, except for we would shoot it that way. And I'm always, when I direct stuff, I love doing improv.
Yeah.
Because that's the stuff. If you cast the right people who are funny and creative, you let them run with. You know you want to start at point A and end up at point B, but how we get there?
All that's magic. Oh, you need all that magic.
Yeah. That can be so fun because you can just play off of each other.
Mm-hmm.
I want to show this one scene, which I love, of how people kiss on the Bachelorettes.
Oh my gosh.
Even on the show.
Cutney. You are both attractive and beautiful. Two great qualities in a woman. Blonde, you sexy firecracker, complete woman.
I was incredible. He's incredibly delectable, amazing.
Thank God I got first.
The other thing that I liked to make fun of is it's a reality show, right? Most of the reality shows have these crazy crying scenes.
Oh yeah.
With the people that are like they're dying. Like it's like but he doesn't like me. We met 4 minutes ago. And I just know he's my soulmate. That whole attitude of like, and I've been on a reality show. I did Funniest Mom in America. Mm. And that was also brutal. So I know that tensions are really high and you know there's a camera in your face. But you are fully aware of what you're saying. Mm. So when these people go on these shows and they're like, oh, I had no idea. There's a camera and you're mic'd. You have a microphone on you. Like there's a battery pack attached to your back.
Yeah.
You can't tell me you didn't know what was. Oh,
they're just caught up in the emotion of it all.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly. That's why I liked playing so much
on that
and spoofing.
Yeah.
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 Can I just get some water or some wine? I cannot believe I did not get chosen.
I was gonna break up with my boyfriend for him.
Can we just switch him out? I mean, what the hell is with this guy?
This is my last chance at love.
Ben.
I hate you!
Damn you people.
Get away from me. Please don't film me. Maybe I could be the next Bachelorette.
That was my first web series. We did the Bachelorettes, and then we went on to do Drying Up, which was another short series. And then we did the Palin Unplugged, because I do a Sarah Palin impersonation, which I do on stage sometimes. And it's really spot on. Like, I've been, people have complained when I do it in Alaska. They have booed me off the stage
because
it's accurate. And other people love it because they don't like her.
Actually,
in Alaska.
A lot of people in Alaska, like one time we went there and one of the audience members was like, Palin.
Yeah, they're like they literally screaming it out.
Palin.
I know. I'm like,
when she came on, they like cheered. It was like this great. It was funny. It was awesome.
Yeah. So off of the Palin Unplugged, I was able to get a pitch meeting with a streaming company. Mm-hmm. They approached me.
Yeah, that's what happens. The tables turn.
Yes. That web series, Sarah and I did like a 20-something episodes, and it started to get traction because we were doing it through the pandemic, and that's how somebody found me.
Okay.
And they looked at all my YouTube stuff, and they were like, we would like to take a pitch meeting. I pitched them three different things, and then they said, we want a movie pitch. And I was like, I've never written a film before. Yeah. I've written on TV shows, and I do short form, and I do punch-up, but... The features, actually, I mean, a 90-page me? Are you kidding? Like, I write one-liners. So I just pulled it out of my butt. I was like, I literally pitched them the story of my life with my son and my mom, and that it would be a comedy and kind of like who the protagonist is and what the overlying theme. Mm-hmm. They're like, we love it. Of course, they picked the one thing.
That you're like, what?
No idea what I'm doing. And I'm like, of course, I'll send you the outline. I hang up with them. And then I literally got online on Amazon and I bought the book, How to Write a Script in 30 Days. I think that's what it's called. And I followed step by step. And I literally wrote the first draft in less than 3 months, submitted it. And then you know that they usually have a contract where you submit a first draft and then a second draft with rewrites and then usually a final draft. Sometimes there's another polished draft that you do at the end. But I did all of that on my own.
Nice.
Sold it. They're like, yes, we want you to star in it. We're going to move forward. After that, the streaming company was purchased by Sony Pictures. That's it. There's new people at the top.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like starting all over, and then you had all this juice behind you, and they're like, yes, we want it, and we're going to make this. Now Sony's like, eh. So that's where the script is at right now.
Yeah.
But at least I can say that I sold.
You sold something, yeah.
I sold a script. Mm. So in doing all of these web series, that's how I was able to sell a script. And I always tell people, like, if you want to sell something, go and do it.
Yeah.
Show proof of concept because that's what these studios do. Now they're shopping online so much more. They go to YouTube and they see who's popular, who's producing stuff that's getting a lot of views, and they either want to buy it from you or they want your viewers.
Right.
If you show that you have viewers, that you have something that's working, so much easier to sell something.
Yeah. All they see is numbers.
Exactly. We want your million viewers. So that's basically what they're paying for. Mm-hmm. I don't have a million viewers yet, but you're going to share this with all your friends. Yeah, please. I know Marky needs money. Come on, guys.
Come on, let's do it.
And that's the thing about this game is that when you're posting things, you have to keep posting more content.
Yeah.
And for me, I think that's a young person's game.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that?
I mean, you're great at it. I think you're great at, you got you a podcast and you've been doing the web series. Like that was never my, and I think also with the awakening of mental health,
right?
Yeah. People are starting to realize that social media might not be the greatest thing to be obsessed about all day.
Right.
Yeah. So for me personally, I think it's more of a mental health thing.
Right.
I did do a quick little YouTube video about freedom farts.
Nice.
And I feel like,
we got to put that link in the description.
Oh my gosh, it's literally one video.
Freedom farts. I love that.
Yeah,
can we do that right now?
Just that, you know, we are not really truly free. You know, you want to have your rights to freedom of speech and the right to bear arms, but until you can fart, in the middle of a rouse and nobody say anything, that is true freedom.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
No, I want to do that to the point where I shit my pants. That's freedom.
We all do it. Like,
I know.
Stop kidding around. Like, stop playing around. Like, this is something you don't do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway.
I love that concept, except for in enclosed places. Like a freaking airplane.
Yeah, that is kind of...
You know what I think they need to have is one of those things where, like in the pool, if you pee,
it turns
color. Green or something. Like if you fart on an airplane, there should have like some cloud that just kind of blows down this green aura around
and
you.
And all
like,
the attendants like, come to you and they orbit to you and say, excuse me, sir, did you just fart?
That's a $10.
That's going to be a problem.
You know, you owe everybody on the airplane $1 now.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But there is something about that plain air.
Yes.
That even if someone opens a ham sandwich, it smells like death.
I don't know. Like feet.
Yeah. It's a person who can tolerate the internet's game. I wouldn't say it's necessarily a young person's game.
Yeah.
But if you can handle I cannot be on social media at all. It drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Like I just picture seeing so many pictures and videos in one place kind of overstimulates my brain.
Yeah.
Even thinking about it just makes me like kind of crazy. So
right. I love the little videos where it's just a quick laugh. It's like a quick 30-second laugh. I follow on Instagram, that account called Kids Getting Hurt.
Yes, I've seen that.
Oh my gosh. I'm a mom and I want to see those kids get hurt.
And there's always somebody in the comments, this is not right. They need to go take that kid to the hospital. What are they doing?
I know. And here's these parents like submitting their kids, like falling down the stairs and like falling it off of a slide and a dog tackling them. And I'm like, oh my gosh, if I only had an iPhone when my kid was growing up, I'd be a gazillionaire. If he was still living with me right now, I would be setting up booby traps.
The kid with no braces.
Yeah. It needs braces because of how I treated him. That's awesome.
Yeah. But the way I do see my video, I do every now and then see a viral every now and then. My sister, she will show me something.
Yeah.
So that's how I'm getting it.
Right.
Somebody will send me something.
I
got enough internet for the day.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, good for you that you have that balance, because a lot of people, myself included, sometimes you scroll and then you just get caught in 30 minutes. You're like, how have I been on here for 30 minutes? Yeah.
I think it's called TikTok because it's TikToking your life away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That or maybe I'm drying up down there.
The pendulum swings.
You want it or no? You want to have kids or no? The answer is no. So this is called Find the Funny.
Yeah.
Are there any circumstances in your life that you have used humor to help yourself cope and get through the situation?
I'm trying to laugh through this strike is what I'm trying to do. I don't know in particular. I know right now has been a challenging season for me.
Right.
And the thing about this work is it's very rewarding. It's the most fun you will ever have. If anybody out there wants to be a television or comedy writer, to be able to work with that many creative people in one place, it is the dream. It really is. Thankfully, I have a really supportive family.
Yeah.
I have a funny, silly family, and
that's
we can laugh at each other and support one another. I think it's important to have a support system.
Right.
Even if you don't have family, find some friends, find somebody
right.
that can go through it, you know, go through the fire with you.
Yeah. So support is really important for you.
Yeah.
So we both have faith and we met at church. Here's an interesting question. When you pray to God for things, because you're really funny, do you use your humor with God? Because I do.
Okay.
I do. Yeah, you're like, all right, thanks for that, Lord.
Yeah.
Like, why?
Like, I'm done learning. I'm right. done with character.
Right.
I'm perfect.
Right.
You know,
right. Yeah,
just
yeah, yeah.
give me what I need.
Yeah, like, Lord, why is this taking
yeah.
so long?
Give me my house on Manhattan Beach or, you know, whatever
yeah.
I'm trying to strive for. Yeah, I mean, God is the creator of all things. I think he's definitely a creator of humor. He will always do things that you don't really expect to
yeah.
happen in the way that you want it to happen. And then
yeah.
when it does happen, you're like, that's what that was. Funny,
yeah.
funny,
yeah.
find the funny.
That's what I'm saying. That's
know?
What I'm saying is God
it,
is
yeah.
like, God is the ultimate on the mic drop.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He's like, you wanted it that way?
Yeah.
Take that 3 years later.
You yeah.
Know,
exactly.
You weren't ready.
look at this house. Look at this big ass house you're in right now.
I know.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting that I think that God has such a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he made boobs. And balls.
And balls.
And balls.
You know what I mean? They're just
and farts. Oh my gosh.
Farts.
Yeah.
That was gonna smell horrible.
Yeah.
And he still was like, I'm good with it. Like he
yeah.
That's, if
I'm
you
cool.
think about who God is, it's crazy. His
yeah.
sense of humor is, I mean, he makes the guy first and he's like, let me break a rib off, you know? Now we're gonna make model two that's
yeah.
even better.
Yeah.
You know, we just don't let her vote or anything. So
yeah.
I
life is so rich and it's
yeah.
difficult. I think God knew that things would be difficult for us.
Right.
So we do have to have those moments where
right.
somebody lets it rip and it's hilarious. Or
yeah.
somebody,
yeah.
you know,
uh-huh.
you see somebody shriveled up balls and that's the
right.
funniest thing you've ever, you gotta
right.
find
and
it. Somewhere.
I wish there was more examples in the Bible of
shriveled
humor.
Up balls. Oh,
yes,
okay.
That too. Well, you know that story about
The daughters, right?
No, no, no. I was thinking all that army who had to circumcise themselves
oh,
right
yeah,
before going out.
Was,
there was
oh.
thousands, I think, of men that had to
foreskin.
Yeah, they had to take their foreskin off and then go to war. And then the other guys they were going to fight were like, "Whoa, we don't need any of that. You guys are cutting your dick." Like, we're good.
Take
you
it.
Win.
You, yeah.
you win. Because if you're going to massacre yourself, they're like, we're good. We'll keep our skin and we'll be over here. And
we're going to show you.
We're going to go home to our wives.
Yeah.
Yeah chill,
like
chill.
Some
you
of those stories actually are so shocking that happened
yeah.
in the Bible. But if you recreate that in your head, I can't imagine this camp full of 1,000 dudes just like, give me a second. You know, and like
Billy, you
not
need a,
like,
you need a scissor.
Yeah, exactly. Past the scissor. Are they dull now? You know, just
man.
But
the men today are weak.
I think we're gonna end on that. I that's a great statement. Men today are weak. I know. Women would freaking just open our own vagina and throw the baby at you, and we're working 2 days later. And a dude's like, what circumstances, man? Like, it's
COVID.
Just, exactly.
No, I'm just
or even like a man that would have to take off maternity leave. If it was men getting pregnant, maternity leave would be like
six months to a
at
year.
Work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the whole time they would put them in this cush desk with their feet up and like
put
all
them in a crib.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. But for women, it's like, oh, you okay,
what
so
is this
you
baby you just had?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You what you were
back.
Bleeding for a week? No big deal. Yeah. Just sit on this donut and get back to work. That's what they do to us.
Cream.
I know.
Donuts.
Full circle. That's what we do here.
Yeah.
Well, Marky, thank you so much for coming
yeah,
on the
of
show.
Course. It was
you
awesome.
Guys, we are gonna put her work and her site, anything you want to plug, a website or anything they can find you at?
No plugging.
Social media?
No social media.
No.
I do have a social media, but it's not active at all. Actually,
okay.
No. You got, how about this? If you guys are praying out there, let's hope that this project that I've submitted to Nick
yes.
gets going. Because I think it's going to be something that really hits home for a lot of people.
That's fantastic.
Open some eyes.
Yes. So let's pray for that. And those of you that don't pray, you're going to burn.
Yeah. See you in hell, suckas.
Sorry, y'all, that's fucked up. for checking us out on Find the Funny. This is my good friend, Marky. She's awesome. Thank you so much. Make sure you subscribe, share, and we will see you next time on Find the Funny. Thanks, guys.
I hope everybody listens to my daughter and see it and laughing with her because she is very funny.